Today, as we lit the candle of peace, the final candle of the celebration of a season known as Advent, but yet not the final day. For Christmas Day and the season of Christmas is still upon us. It is still coming to us. Something worth continuing to celebrate, to have hope, to experience love, to share joy, and to be at peace in. If you would, as we have been every Sunday of the season of Advent, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, where we see various titles given to Jesus. Various titles by the prophet 700 years before his coming that was bestowed upon Jesus. Things acknowledged about who this Jesus would be, who this Messiah would be, a wonderful counselor. We all need counselors to talk about. We all experience times in our lives where we just need that wisdom and that advice, and who better to give it to us than God through Jesus Christ, our mighty God, that Jesus was truly Emmanuel, God with us. He was God fully in the flesh, fully 100% God, 100% man. Our everlasting Father, meaning our protector, our provider, our sustainer. He is all this and so much more. In particular, as Isaiah shows us today, he is our Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9:6 says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." Jesus, born to us. Jesus, given to us. Our Lord, our Master, our Savior, who is our Wonderful Counselor, our Mighty God incarnate, our Everlasting Father, leaving us with this last title Isaiah gives that shows us the fullness of the hope, the love, the joy, and peace that Jesus truly brings into the lives of those who can put their hope, faith, and love and trust in him. Understanding that he is indeed a Prince of Peace, the Prince of Peace. Peace is a funny thing, especially in our day and age. It would seem peace is very fleeting these days. To many in this day and age, we experience anything but what we would consider peace. Advent is supposed to be a season of peace where deep and meaningful peace is found, but it doesn't always feel like that. Truth be told, 2020 has been a tough year, and I don't even need to spend time to talk about the rising unemployment, the layoffs, the struggling families with health and other things, and just their general well-being. It's been a struggle of a year, and it's not just because of COVID. There's been so many things that would come and disrupt what we would consider to be peace. Peace isn't defined how we define it, though, in the Word of God. It is so much different. Because there is peace even when you're out of toilet paper and you can't find it on those newly freshly stocked shelves. There is still peace despite our circumstances. There is still peace despite our situation. There is external peace that has been given to us that can become our peace, if we would just simply receive it. But we must ask, what is peace? In today's world, peace is described as a sort of tranquility. In fact, if you look it up online, it would say that peace is a lack of disturbance, a state of tranquility. It would be considered what happens when a mom locks herself in the bathroom just for 5 minutes to get away from the kids. Just a moment of no distraction.
I was going to say, your mom does. Yes, really. Sometimes we just need that quiet. I do that sometimes, Lucas. But that doesn't really cut to the chase. It doesn't really give us a good understanding of what peace is in the Bible. Nor does Merriam-Webster, which says that peace means a state of tranquility or quiet, a freedom from disrupting or oppressive thoughts. This would be our common understanding of peace in our present day and age, and I think we could all agree. We would agree that this is the image of peace that comes to our mind when we think about such things as peace. However, this is but a portion of what the Word of God is actually saying when it uses the word peace. In fact, it may not catch you by surprise, this word is poorly translated into English as just simply peace. When this word in Hebrew means so much more than just peace. Sure, it does mean peace, but it means a multitude of other things. To cut straight to the point, we need to ask what peace is here in the Word of God. What does it mean to call Jesus the Prince of Peace? Understanding it's not a vaccine to end a pandemic. It's not a ceasing of all conflict. It's not having all the security and shelter you could ever have in your life. For peace is not found in having large nuclear arsenals either. I love what the great late theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer had to say about peace. He says there is no way to peace along the way of safety, for peace must be dared. It is itself a great venture and can never be safe. Peace is the opposite of security. To demand guarantees is to want to protect oneself. Peace means giving oneself completely to God's commandment, wanting no security, but in faith and obedience, laying the destiny of the nations in the hand of Almighty God. For those who are unaware of who Dietrich Bonhoeffer is, he was a German theologian during the rise of the Nazi Party and the takeover of the German church by the Nazi Party. Bonhoeffer and very many other companions, however, decided not to just bow down and curtail to the government and what they were doing. He decided to start an illegal seminary to train pastors to plant illegal churches that would speak up for truth and justice in a climate that would get you killed for doing. And in fact, Bonhoeffer is killed for multiple reasons. He is put to death because he's believed to be a part of an assassination attempt on Adolf Hitler, which his involvement was because he had a relative that was involved in it. But he's also put to death for standing up for what is right and true. And you could read his books, in particular, Letters and Papers in Prison, which were his last words that he wrote while he was in prison. And you could see something in them. You can see peace, wonderful peace. You've got to ask, this man is facing a firing squad. How does he have such peace? It's understanding that peace has nothing to do with safety. Peace has nothing to do with security. Peace has nothing to do with what we consider peace in today's world. Jesus says it best when he says this in John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Jesus brings peace. But it's a peace that we do not know. It's a peace that we do not understand, because it's not the peace of this world. Jesus makes it clear that he brings us something completely and utterly different. Not as the world would give or seek peace. And in particular, not how we would understand peace. Then, today, and into the future, as a society by and large, the peace he brings is so much different. Therefore, and furthermore, even though one could argue perhaps peace is the opposite of war, nations laying down their weapons and deciding to walk hand in hand for the better of humanity together. How far are we from that kind of peace? Someone could argue perhaps it's the absence of conflict. Families would stand united together. Churches would stand united together. And there wouldn't be all this backbiting and bickering. It would be an end to gossip and slander. Courtrooms would be empty because there would be no crime. How far are we from that kind of peace? Someone could even argue peace is the absence of hardship. Boy, how far are we from that kind of peace? Seeing how our lives have been completely disrupted from the top to bottom, remembering how millions of people this year have become suddenly unemployed, have lost loved ones, are facing pain, sickness, and suffering. How far are we from that kind of peace, the absence of hardship? We are so far, it is unattainable. But Jesus brings us peace. He brings us peace. Not as the world brings it to us, but in another way. What is peace then? What is it that he has brought us? For starters, it comes by understanding the word that is used in the Bible for peace, that we translate poorly to peace. The word that Jesus uses, even when he says, "My peace, I bring to you, my peace I leave with you," the word he uses is not peace, but it is shalom. That is the word we're looking for, shalom. This word we translate and butcher by simply saying peace is the same word that Isaiah 9:6 uses when Isaiah calls Jesus the Prince of Peace. He is the Prince of Shalom. He is the Prince of so much more than peace. John 14:27 would be better read, "Shalom I leave with you, my shalom I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." When, in actuality, once again, it's shalom, not peace. It is shalom the angels proclaim over the shepherds in the field in Luke 2:14 when they say, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, shalom among those whom he is pleased." Now we need to understand the New Testament wasn't written in Hebrew. So there was a different word here. The word was actually erene, erene. And erene was the Greek equivalent to the word shalom, properly translated in Greek by the Greek writers. So much more than peace. What does it mean then? Somebody saying, "Stop beating around the bush, Pastor. Just get to the point. What does this word mean?" We're going to get there in about 30 minutes. I'm just kidding. Here is the meaning of shalom. According to the Strong's exhaustive concordance, shalom means completeness. It means soundness. It means welfare. It means harmony. Not just harmony within ourselves, but harmony around us, harmony with others, with our neighbor, in harmony with God. Shalom means newness, tranquility, rest. Shalom also means peace. I actually have a graphic that kind of helps break this down for us and shows us all this word actually means and can mean. In this, all of this to say, shalom is so much more than just peace. It's so much more than what many in our modern era would consider peace. Shalom is the most wonderful state of being we can ever arrive to. To be whole, to be complete, to be new, to find rest, to be content, to be full. Interesting enough, that's what Jesus came to do for you and for me. He came to take the mess of our lives and put us back together again. He came to help carry us out of the muck of this world. so that we could truly experience what it means to have shalom, not just within ourselves, not just with others, but shalom, restoration with God. For our God, our Messiah, our Holy Spirit, three persons yet one God, is a God of shalom, who is constantly working out the shalom for all creation. In fact, this entire book he has given us, that he has inspired to us from cover to cover, is about how he brings and is going to bring about shalom for all of creation. From the fall to the end, he shows us how he's moving us to a new and better Eden, that he's bringing us back to shalom. He is a God of shalom. In fact, the Old Testament gives him the title Yahweh Shalom in Hebrew, which we see in Judges 6:24. Then Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it, "The Lord is peace." Just doesn't capture it. The Lord is shalom. To this day, it stands at Ophrah, which belongs to the Abizarites. Understanding the origins of the transcripts of Hebrew, they read this as the altar was called YHWH, because they feared so much pronouncing the name of the Lord that they just used the consonants. Even when they added vowels later to the Hebrew text, they would still just use the consonants. But we know that they are talking about the Lord Most High. God is peace. More so, God is shalom. Not simply peace. He is shalom. Bringing us back to Isaiah's titles that he gives Jesus as this most wonderful Prince. Peace. Prince of shalom. He is wholeness, wellness, fullness, completeness, perfection. He is peacefulness. He is tranquility. He is the one who makes us new again. Furthermore, he is the prince to all this and so much more. He is the promise of the coming the prophet would proclaim in Isaiah 54, which is a section of the Word of God, which most English translations call the eternal covenant of peace. More so, the eternal covenant of shalom. It says this in Isaiah 54:10 through 13. For the mountains may depart, and the hills be removed, but my steadfast love shall not depart from you. This is God speaking. And my covenant of peace, my covenant of shalom, shall not be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. O afflicted one, storm-tossed, and not comforted. Behold, I will set your stones in Atimony and lay your foundation with sapphires. I will make your pinnacles of agate, your gates of carbuncles, and all your walls of precious stones. All your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace, be the shalom of your children. Which to me is just a great foreshadowing of another prophecy that will come much later in God's Word. From the prophecy of John of Patmos, who would say this in Revelation 21:1 through 5. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming out, down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. The dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former thing have passed away. And he who is seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new.
And he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." Shalom. He is truly our Prince of Shalom. He is the one. But how is this possible? All of this and more is possible because He is our God and we are His people. And in this, our God is the God of Shalom. What better picture of Shalom than this? True Shalom is God. True Shalom belongs to God. True Shalom only comes from God through Jesus Christ, for He is the Prince, the bringer of Shalom. How will we live in the Shalom He brings today? During the season of Christmas. But more importantly, how will we live in the Shalom He brings in every moment of every day? With this being asked, I want to tell you right now, I don't have a checklist. I don't have a list of things you can do to do this. Because I can't bring you Shalom. Only Jesus can bring you Shalom. You can't bring yourself Shalom. Only Jesus can do this. I can suggest one thing that I have found to be true that brings Shalom in this life. No matter the wars that are raged around us, no matter the sickness and illness, no matter the death or disease, no matter the persecution and tribulation we may face, no matter anything that is happening in all of heaven and earth, I can suggest this one thing. Turn to the Prince of Peace. Turn to the Prince of Shalom. Turn to Jesus, surrender yourself to Him, and allow Him to do His great sanctifying work in you. Allow Him to mold, to shape, to train, to change, to transform you so that you could be made whole, that you could be made complete. This is the work of God in you through Jesus Christ, that He would bring us Shalom, that He'd bring us to a new and better Eden, to be made new in Him, and to find Shalom from the only source of Shalom, which is Him. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. This is a gift that is given. It is free. It's been paid for. It has been packaged, sealed, wrapped, and handed to you freely. Jesus has been given to us. And the government shall be upon His shoulder. He has all authority. He has all power. He alone is sovereign. And He shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Shalom. If you do this, you will not be left in want. You will be not left half empty or half full, whatever your philosophical bent is. You will be left like the psalmist who says, "My cup overflows." If you would just surrender and turn to the God of Shalom and His work of bringing Shalom to us through Jesus Christ our Lord, which is important to understand here and now, is not a fleeting, it is an everlasting Shalom. As the prophet continues, as we read in verse 7, of the increase of His government and of peace, of Shalom, there will be no end on the throne of David and over His kingdom to establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. He has done this. He has won this. He has freely given this to you and to me. Would we but accept it and find the Shalom that is truly in Him from this time forth and forevermore? Are you feeling burdened today? Are you feeling sick and pain? Are you feeling weary and heavy laden? Would you this day come and receive His Shalom? Would you today just come before the manger? Would you this day come and witness the Shalom on earth God has provided you and me? through Jesus Christ, our Lord of lords and King of kings. Would you this day come and forever find your peace, your rest, your wholeness, your completeness, your fullness from this day forth and forevermore? Would you come? Would you receive his shalom? The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord remains forever. I'd like to invite our worship team forward to lead us in a time of response and reflection. You may be here today thinking, you may be online watching today thinking, you have anything but shalom. It is here before Jesus is here. Jesus is there with you if you're at home. His shalom is there for the taking, for he is freely giving. Would we come during this time of response and reflection? Would those who need this kind of shalom come? As always, the altars will be open this morning. If you want some prayer, we will be up here praying with you, in our chairs praying alongside you. If you need to use the prayer room, it is open as always. Feel free to come before the God of Shalom and truly find the wholeness.